Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Do you know that God has a plan for your life? And God's plan works. God, if you follow God's instructions, God's plan will work as you steward your life with your time, your talent, your treasure, and the touch that you have that's unique to anyone else's. When I was growing up, I used to read comic books. I know many of you have never even heard of that. Some of you that are old like me, you would remember comic books. Archie. Richie Rich. Casper, the friendly ghost. Little Batman. Little Green Hornet. Little Ghost Rider. Matter of fact, I have the first Ghost Rider comic book that ever came out. And people tell me it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But when I went to sell it, they offered me $2. You ever had something like that that's worth a whole lot of money? But kind of like your glasses you wore last night, Chris. I mean, if you put them on eBay right now, crazy. So, in the back of comic books, there would be this mail order things. You could order certain things. And so they had X-ray glasses you could order that you could see through walls. You could see things that other people could not see. And so I saved up my money, and they were $4. Shipping was $18. Shipping and handling. What is handling? And so I ordered them. They came to my house, and I was so excited about these X-ray glasses that I put them on, and they didn't work. They were a dud. They did not work. All they did was help me to run into things. But in the magazine, they looked so cool. They promised such incredible level of you know, secretive and just high level access to things that I didn't know. And then so how many, when something doesn't work, you try something else. So I ordered something again. How many of you are a slow learner? You do something dumb and then you get dumber. So I ordered something again. I ordered a telescope. On the back of the comic book, that was like $8. The ship of Hannah was like $30. And you could actually put it in your backyard and see people on the moon. You could watch the moon walking. You could watch moon food. You could watch them collect moon rocks. And you could, I mean, you could see, in the comic book it said you could actually see spacey men that were on television. I mean, that were on the moon. And you would check them out. And so I ordered the telescope. It came. I set it up in my backyard, and you couldn't see the fence across the yard. It did not. I followed the instructions, but it did not work. Even though I followed the instructions, it did not work. Those things I ordered were struggling. I mean, they struggled. Can I tell you, it is not God's will for you to struggle in every area of your life. God's will is not a dud. God's instructions are not duds. They work. They bring life. They bring peace. They bring blessing. They bring purpose. They bring destiny into our life. They reveal things about our life. God's word works. In Luke chapter 15, as I've studied about what it means to be a steward, how do you be a steward of your life, of your family, of the moments that you have, because life is speeding by. How do you do better for God? How do you make sure you're doing what you need with the time that you have on the, you know, in your classroom, with the friends that you have? When you get out of high school, most of those friends, you know, you won't see anymore. And many of you that are in college, many of those friends you'll never see again. And how are you handling the workplace and the relationships and all these things? Luke chapter 15 to me is a perfect story told by a perfect son about what it means to struggle, what it means to have, even in the midst of struggling, what it means to be a steward of your life that is given to us by the grace and mercy of God, by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Even when we have struggled and we have failed and we have made mistakes And we have wasted our time. We have wasted our season. We have wasted money. We have wasted moments. How do you recover? How do you begin again? How do you start over when you've struggled and you've wasted things? I think Luke chapter 15, who was told by the perfect Son of God. I love everything about Luke 15. I love the story about the lost coin. I love the idea about the lost sheep. But I love the story of the prodigal son. You can read it 1,000 times and you'll learn 1,000 lessons. And I love the father and the prodigal son. I love what happens. I love all the dynamics. But the thing I love the most about Luke chapter 15 is the one who is telling the story, which is Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, who has never sinned, but yet he tells a story. The perfect son tells a story about a prodigal son. Because he can identify with the prodigal. Because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He's touched with our struggle. I'll read you these scriptures in Luke chapter 15. This is a great chapter. It says this in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, Jesus said, a certain man had 2 sons. So there were 2 sons. There's the prodigal son. There's the son that is very legalist. We won't spend a lot of time with him. He is the son that is pointing at everybody else. He's the son that points at the father. He's the son who points at his loser brother. He's the son that points at his works. He's always pointing how good he is, how better he is than everybody else, why he hasn't gotten this. He is the son that points. But then there's a prodigal son. But then remember, it's being told by the perfect Son of God. So it's really a story you could call My Three Sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods. Give me the goods that falls to me. So he divided them of his livelihood. He gave of his estate. And not many days after, a younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. And there he wasted his possessions. He wasted possessions with prodigal living. The word prodigal means wasteful living. He just wasted the possessions that he got from his dad. Normally, you would only ask that after your father has passed away. But he's so insensitive, he just doesn't even care if his father lives or dies. He's not honoring his dad. And therefore, because he's not honoring his dad, then guess what? He's asking crazy requests. When you get out of honor, you will ask and you will demand and you will expect crazy things. And he's getting crazy because he's not walking in honor. When you don't honor things, you don't see things properly. And so he's demanding his estate. Basically, he's saying to his dad, I wish you were dead so I can get my stuff and get on out of here. So he makes these demands. Well, the Bible says that in all this, he got those things. It was divided up to him. And when he had spent all those things, there arose a great famine. He journeyed to a far country, and there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. That's how it always ends up. But when he came to himself, which is a great thought, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like a hired servant. He goes through this whole thing. And then the Bible says that he arose and he came to his father. And when he was still a long way off, the father saw him and had compassion on him. And I love what the Bible says in verse 21. It says he ran to him. He saw him and he came to his father. And the father said to his son as he ran to him and said, oh, no. And the Bible says that he hugged him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. And then the son began to say this speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven, your sight. No longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said to the servants, No. Bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf. Let's kill it. Let's eat and be married. And I love verse 24. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. My son, he is alive. He was lost. He's found. And he began to be married. One of the greatest stories in Scripture. One of the greatest stories ever told. About a prodigal son who demanded his goods and a father who didn't give up on him. A father that even though he came home with wrong motives, was still for him. And still embraced him. Now his father wasn't sending him checks in the far country, prolonging his issue. Think about it. He didn't send him a check every month and say, well, one day you're going to come to yourself. I'm going to keep financing your crazy. What did he do? He let him come to himself. Grace is like a bungee cord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I heard that. It's like a bungee cord. It'll send you on out. It'll hold on to you. And then you'll have an opportunity to come on back if you choose to. It's going to love on you. It's going to be attached to you. It's going to remind you. It's going to pull on you. You don't want to live this way. You don't want to act that way. Come on back here. Come on back here. Come on back here. And you know what's amazing? If you'll let go of that thing you thought you wanted that has let go of you, you'll come on back to the Father. That's what's amazing about grace and mercy. He'll bring you back. Bring you back when you don't deserve it. Bring you back when you don't smell like it. Bring you back when you're not acting like it. He'll bring you back if you'll let him. If you've struggled, if you've failed, if you've made a mistake, he will bring you back. I love that Luke 15. I could talk about it for a long time, but I just want to talk about four statements. Four statements of Luke chapter 15 that teaches me a lot about stewarding my life. Here's the first one. It's a statement that says, give me my goods. I think that is the number one struggle of humanity. Humanity says, give me what's mine and leave me alone. Bless my life, but I will date who I please. Heal my body, but I'm going to do what I want with my body. Help me out, but don't put your hands on me. Take your hands on me. Don't touch me. I think that's the struggle of humanity. I'm in a bind. I'm in an emergency. But don't try to tell me nothing about my life. Don't try to get involved with my choices. Don't try to cramp my style. Don't try to make me uncomfortable. Lord, now that I'm okay, I'm okay. Now that you've helped me, you can leave me alone. Give me what's mine so I can do what I want with what's mine. I don't need your help with it. Just give me my goods. We all have a measure of good. We all have a measure of blessing. We've all been given something. The question is, how do you see what you've been entrusted with? Do you see it as an owner? Do you see that you own what you have? Or do you see yourself as a steward, a servant, or a son? He decided that day that Father does not know best. I will now take control of my estate. I will now do what my desires want to do. I will spend it. I will squander it. He didn't wait. He didn't save. He didn't have any wisdom. He didn't ask for help. He didn't have no plan. Dad, you will no longer speak into my money. I will now speak on the behalf of my money. You have managed my money. You have managed my resources up to this point. And his dad's done a pretty good job of it. But now he's telling his dad, you don't need to manage my resources anymore. When you decide not to tithe, you are telling your heavenly Father, I will handle my money from here. I don't need you involved with my resources. I ought to get a better amen than that. I'm telling you the truth. When you don't tithe, when you don't give, when you don't obey God with your resources, you are telling God, no longer manage my money. I'm going to manage it from here on out. I don't need you managing my money. I'm smart enough. I've got enough wisdom. I'm cool enough. I got it going on. I don't need you involved with my resources. I don't need you involved with my future planning. I am a genius. I am brilliant. I can play the game. I know more than anybody else. Matter of fact, I'm trusting a person I barely even know with my money, but I'm not going to trust you with my money. Are we crazy? We let people we don't even hardly know handle our money, but yet we will not even trust God with our Ben Franklins. We will not do it. That's what the prodigal said. Give me mine to the Father, and I'll take it from here. Did you know that the average credit card balance of a household who has a credit card is $9,300? Did you know that only 45% of people even make the minimum payment? that makes it harder and harder and harder and harder. It is hard today to handle resources. It is even harder when you handle it on your own. I want to encourage you to not go it alone. Get help. See, the church is not here just to take your 10%, your offerings. Let me tell you something. That's not what we're here. We're not here. Well, Dino, you just want my 10%. No. You don't give it. Give it somewhere else. We're here to help you steward 100% of your life. Finances are a big part of that. Time is a big part of that. We just don't want 10%. I don't know about you. I just don't want God to take 10%. I need wisdom for all the 90. I need God to teach me and give me wisdom and give me restraint and give me some discipline and give me some ideas and give me some insight and some discernment on what to do with my whole life. That's why you don't want to go it alone. You want to find financial freedom. God wants to remind you that there's hope. It's not over. It's to stop the crazy, stop the bleeding. You can start over again. That's why I love Financial Peace University. It's an incredible opportunity for you to learn. On March the 17th, down at the Annex, we're going to have Dave Ramsey up on the video screens. And from 11:45 to 5 o'clock, he's going to teach us about how to deal with debt, how to spend, how to save, how to invest, how to not go alone. You can register online. Well, it's one of the most important things you can do is say, you know what, maybe you're struggling in that area. You say, I just want some help. I just want to learn some things. I think one of the first things, if you say, I'm struggling with my resources right now. Have you ever struggled? Have you ever struggled with your finances? Have you ever thought a business deal was going to go through and it didn't go through? Have you ever thought there was going to be a windfall and it didn't happen? Have you ever bought something and had buyer's remorse? Have you ever thought about something, got something, and when you got it, you realized you didn't have enough to pay for it? Has there ever been a time at work where you thought you were going to get a raise and you didn't get a raise? You got fired. Come on, somebody. Have you ever joined up with somebody and they told you we're going to make so much money? It's going to be crazy in here. It's going to be crazy, crazy. You didn't make any money. They took your money. Sometimes you struggle financially. You don't mean to. But all of a sudden, things cost more. And you have plans. And this happens. And all of a sudden, a son gets sick. And a car breaks. And a garage door falls on the dog. And your neighbor blames you because the dog runs in his yard, bleeds all up on the front porch. And now you have to break his front porch. And it costs you. Things happen unexpectedly. And before you know it, you are struggling financially. Don't struggle alone. Don't struggle alone. Get somebody around you. Get God's word around you. I want to encourage you. Sign up March the 17th for Financial Peace. I love, Johnny, that they call it Financial Peace. Johnny Green's got 2 free tickets, and he's a kudu. He's elusive. If you can locate him in the foyer, he will hook you up. He'll give them to you for free. We want to help you. We want to help you. Why? Because God wants you and I to stop wasting and stop worrying. Stop wasting and stop worrying. Let me give you these other 3. Here's the second one that I love happens in this story is he came to himself. He just finally said, this isn't me. I got to stop this. Why am I acting this way? Why am I saying this? Why am I acting this way? He realized he was not made to struggle his whole life. You know the idea he had? I got to head home. I got to get home. I want to invite you home. Invite you to God's house. Invite you to God's heart. Invite you to God. If you're struggling in your marriage, get home in the presence of God. If you're struggling with parenting, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with something that you don't want to do anymore, why am I doing this? This isn't me. I know I'm not supposed to. If you're in a relationship that is just bizarre, if there's just things that are happening in your life, things are not healthy, things are crazy. Let me tell you, you were not born to live that way. Get home. Why? Because home helps you remember who you are and whose you are. When you go home, you remember who you are. That's why you got to get home to God's presence, home to God's word. It helps you to be reminded. I wasn't meant to live this way. I wasn't meant for the pig pen. I wasn't meant to wallow in all this. I wasn't meant to be deceived by the world and to be spit out by the world and now just left over with misery. I wasn't meant to be that way. It's not God's plan for our life. And then the third statement that I love is how he says, make me a servant. You know what's interesting about this? I thought about this. I love how when he's going home, he's praying different than when he's leaving the home. When he's leaving the home, he is demanding, give me my goods. I'm heading out of here. You don't know nothing. You don't know me. You don't know what's going on. You don't know my friends. You don't know my plans. You don't know what I can do. You don't know how good I am. You don't know my ideas. You can't tell me nothing. But all of a sudden, when he ends in that pig pen, all of a sudden, he repents. He comes to himself, and he leaves that pig pen, and he's no longer saying, you don't know nothing. He's saying, my daddy knows more than I thought he did. I don't think I want to stay in this pig pen. Oh, if he can make me just a servant. It's interesting how he went out one way, come on somebody, but he went in another way. He went out saying, give me my goods, give me my goods. I know better than you. He came back home saying, if you could just make me a servant. He humbled himself. He got broken. Sometimes you got to humble yourself when you're struggling. Sometimes you got to be broken. You got to admit, this ain't working for me. I need some help. I need help my marriage. I need help dealing with my crazy thoughts. I need some help. He came home. He said, make me a servant. And I bet he thought, you know what? I deserve a beating. He didn't get a beating. He got a blessing. I don't know about you. There's been a many day I deserved a beating. I didn't get a beating. I got a blessing. And then the last statement is from the Father. But it's authored by the perfect Son. He's speaking for the Father, but it's being said by the perfect Son of God, who has just told a story about the prodigal. And what he said was, this is my Son. He saw his Son. That's my boy. The bungee cord of grace and mercy is bringing him down my front yard. He got so fired up, old man started running. How many of these young people, when they run, it's sleek, pow, pow, pow. Why? You know, you go watch basketball, you'll see these kids run. They run like deer, just pow, pow, long strides, all wow. You know, all crazy stride. Let somebody old run. It's frightening. It's like, I didn't know people could run like that, running all sideways. Can't even get over there. No. Crazy run. What do you think about that? That's what goes on. Saw this morning. It's really the only time in the entire scripture where God the Father is seen as being in a hurry. It's the only time he's ever seen him being in a hurry. What is he in a hurry about? He's in a hurry to go hug and kiss his son, saying in his mind, nobody lay a hand on him, because if some of my other servants see him, they may stone him. They may beat him the way he's done me, the way he's, all these things we've heard about him, all the disappointment, all the rejection, all the guilt, all the embarrassment he's brought upon me. There's no telling if somebody else gets to him before I get to him, they may stone him, but I'm going to get out there before anybody else gets to him. I'm going to hug him. I'm going to put my arms around him. Why? Because I'm going to tell everybody, don't you lay a hand on him. He is my son. He prayed to be a servant, but what he said is, you're not a servant, you're my son. Today, please remember who's telling this story. It's the perfect Son of God, who never wandered off into a pig pen, but he sure understands what people go through when they've wandered into a pig pen. He knows what it's like to struggle, but he wants to bring you back to stable and fluid. He wants to see you flourish in the Father's heart. For about 3 weeks, I've struggled some physically. Some of you have prayed for me. And I've been tired and fatigued with the trip that we had to the mission field. I felt like I've been out of whack. I don't feel like things are right. The other night I sat up and I said, God, I need a word. And God gave me a word and a song. And it's like he ran down my road and embraced me with the words of this song called "You Are For Me." I believe he's going to do the same thing for you in whatever area you're struggling today and you're here and now. And I'm going to ask Tabitha to sing this song and then we're going to pray. Please don't move. Don't be dismissed. Don't go anywhere. Because I believe that God is for somebody today who struggles. I don't know what area you're struggling. It may not be financial. It may be relationship. It may be with your hope. It may be with being single. It may be with your parents. It may be in school. It may be with your future. I don't know what area you're struggling in, but the Son of God is close to those who struggle. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the picture that Scripture gives us of truth. I thank you for the mirror of God's Word that explodes with light and radiance, shines on my dark world, gives clarity to my life. And I thank you, Lord, for the next few minutes, God, that you will speak a word like you spoke to my heart, that you are for me. You are for me. Even when I struggle, you are for me. In Jesus' name.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do. You fill me, you see me, you know my every move, you love for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. And I know that you have come down, even if to write upon my heart, to remind to you, Lord.
Good, amen. Hey, let's all stand our feet. No one leaving. You just stay right where you're at. I want to pray for you. We can get these doors shut, Johnny. The doors are propped open. Just stay real still right where you're at. You know, what I love about young people is normally they don't have a lot of self-awareness, which there's a trade-off to that. That's good sometimes, that's bad sometimes, but what I love about young people, and I witness this during Devoted, is if they realize, if they're struggling, hey, I'm struggling. Somebody help me, I'm struggling. I just love that. I love that. What happens with adults, our struggle is to admit that we're struggling. We know we are struggling. We have a trouble admitting we're struggling. So the enemy is an expert wall builder, so he builds a wall, and we stay on this side of our struggle because we won't step into freedom. We won't go to a financial peace university. We won't ask for prayer. We would, you know, we're not. We don't wake up thinking I'm gonna run to the altar. I got this. And we continue to struggle. And I just want to give an opportunity. I want to give an appeal. I want to give an altar call. I'm going to invite you that if you're struggling in an area of your life, I don't know what it is. It literally could be in a group this size, those that are watching online. It could be 200 to 300 things that we're struggling with, just all kinds of things. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a hope. There's a hope vacuum in your life. I don't know if there is a peace deficiency. I don't know if there is a relational nightmare. I don't know if you're struggling with your identity. I don't know what it is. It could be sin and the variations of sin. I don't know what it is. It could be your mind, just in your mind. It is a battle in your mind. You can't get past it. You are struggling in your thoughts. I don't know what it is, but I want to give an altar call. And I'm going to pray about a 20-second prayer. When I say amen, I'm going to ask you that if you're struggling all across this arena, online, wherever you're at, don't think about it. Don't debate it. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to strategize out of it.
I'm going to ask you, when I say amen, to get out of your seat and get down here as quick as you can. We're going to believe for God. He's going to run and meet you. He's going to hurry and meet you. Father, I pray for every heart in this room right now. I pray for every person who's watching online, even at this second. Father, I pray right now, God, that, Lord, you are hurrying to someone right now. You are hurrying, Father. You're seeing them with compassion. Why? Because you're the Father, Lord. You're the perfect Son telling the story. And a prodigal has never scared you off. A prodigal has never made you run in the other direction. But a prodigal has made you hurry towards them, Father. And I pray this, and I believe right now you're touching hearts. And Lord, we pray for every person, Lord, that in their heart they know they're struggling in an area of their life. And we thank you that today is a day of freedom. Today is a day to be reminded. Today is a day to hear those words, you are for me. You are for me. You are for me. You are for me. Even in my weakness, you are for me. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to just move out of your seat, your struggle. Hurry, hurry. He hurries to you. He hurries to you. He hurries to you. He is hurrying to your need. He is hurrying to your sickness. He is hurrying to your hurt. He is hurrying to your pain. He is hurrying to your failure. He is hurrying to you.
Every life, let every person know that you're for them. You are for them. Come on, let's just pray for about a minute. If we have all our team to move around and pray, believe God, believe God, believe God, believe God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Jesus meets us. Jesus meets us. Jesus meets us in our struggle. Our struggle. We are struggling. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But we have an idea that if we can get home, if we can get up out of this pig pen, if we can just put one foot in front of another, and we can just point in the direction to the Father's heart. And if we'll just start walking to the Father's house, and we just want to be a servant, maybe I can just get by. Maybe God will just let me get by. But Lord, we have been surprised this moment that midway towards getting to our house, to not even serve in the house, you meet us. You run to us. You hug and kiss us. You hurry to our weakness. You hurry to our situation. You hurry to our lack. You hurry to our struggle. Because you always meet those who come to their self and repent. Thank you for the bungee cord of mercy
that has pulled many people back. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want you to say that out loud with Tabitha. I know that you're for me. Just sing that, Tabitha. I know that you're for me.
I know that you are there.
Just say it out loud.
Forsake me in my weakness.
Come on, say that, church.
I know that you have come now, even if to write upon my heart to remind me. I know that
come on, say that you're for me. Sometimes it's hard to even say that out loud because you just never feel that way. You never feel like God is for you.
You will never forsake me in my weaknesses. I know that you have come now.
Come on, say that, students.
Even if to write upon my heart to remind me, Lord. I know.
Come on, say that. I know that you're for me. Say this out loud. I know you'll never leave me. Forsake me in my weakness. Because that's what I thought was going to happen.
Forsake me in my weakness. And I know that you have come down.
To remind me.
To write upon my heart.
Of who you are. Not what I'm not.
To remind me.
Come on, one more time. Say it out loud, students. Say it, dads and moms.
That you are for me. That you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness, Lord. I know that you have come there, even if to write upon my heart to remind me, Lord. I know that you are for me.
Encourage every person here who's made a commitment to Christ. You've decided to start again. You made a fresh start in Jesus Christ. We've got a book that we want to give you for free. Fresh Start with God. We want to connect with you. We don't want you to go it alone. I want you to go it alone. Hard to live for God all by yourself. You need family. You need spiritual family. For our students, that's your youth group, that's here at Epic. For our adults, it's getting connected to a small group, it's being a part. Here in this foyer, go by and get your fresh start with God. And we want to connect with you. Stay around the altar as long as you want. Let me lead you in prayer right now. Pray this after me. Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I ask you.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
Of my many sins.
Of my many sins.
I repent of my sins. And I invite you to be Lord of my life.
To be Lord of my life.
Of everything. Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
You died for me.
You died for me.
I accept.
What you did.
What you did.
And I believe. That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess you.
I confess you.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
And I'm going to live for you.
And I will live for you.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said a good amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.